Before I get started with today's episode, I wanted to make sure that I gave a big shout out to Jeannie Colwin Coaching. Jeannie Colwin is a stress and mind body coach in Los Angeles. You might remember that she guest hosted the podcast about a year ago and has come on live with me in each of the last two Augusts, plural, of 2021 and of 2022. Most recently, it was episode 238 called Stress Talk. Jeannie spent 16 years battling fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue, and a myriad of other chronic symptoms that left her physically and mentally exhausted. She healed herself completely, and now she's obsessed with getting her clients fast results through her one-on-one coaching program. In this program, clients learn how to decrease stress, release stuck negative emotions, and finally heal their chronic pain for good. As we start this new year, it may be an important opportunity to reflect on your TMS journey. Are you happy with your progress so far? Has the quality of your life deteriorated since last year? What will happen in 3 or 6 or 12 months if nothing happens or changes? Jeannie's one-on-one program will give you the support, consistency, and accountability to finally achieve your desired results. It may be time to admit that doing it alone isn't working. How would it feel to work with someone who will take a stand for your dreams? Jeannie offers free 45-minute consults where you'll identify what's holding you back so you can take your next steps towards healing. Go to her website, jeanniecolwin.com, that's JeannieKulwin.com, and book your free call to see if it's a good fit. Welcome back to the show. We're going to pivot a little bit for today from what I had expected to talk about, what I planned on. But before I jump into that, go to patreon.com/themindandfitnesspodcast if you're interested in supporting the show. It certainly helps keep the show on the air for free, and it helps drive a little bit more incentive to continue doing this. This is in year 6 now of the podcast, which is pretty awesome. So let me give a shout out to Jeff and Julie, who joined in December, Albert and Deborah, who both joined in November, Deborah and Daniel and Kirk, Emily, Paul, Elise, Enda, Dominic, Sasha, John, Jason, Mindy, Irina, Kelly, Tony, Michael, Mike, Christina, Ross, Julie, Brian, Arnie, and Barb. Thank you all so much for continuing to support the podcast every single week and month. It honestly does mean the world to me. So thank you for continuing to support it. So the plan for this week was that I wanted to do a Ask Me Anything. I got quite a few responses in the Facebook groups that I posted it to. But hold on, maybe we'll do that next week or maybe in a couple of weeks. Because there was something that I came across a couple of days ago that I wanted to talk about. I'm not really sure as this episode rolls on where it's going to go or what direction it's going to be or different things like that. But I want to share something with you. Let me find it. So I've talked a few times. I have this TimeHop app, and what TimeHop is, it's great. It basically goes into all of your past social or to all of your social media accounts and will show you status updates or pictures you took or whatever from X number of years ago. So I took a screenshot. So 4 years ago yesterday, I had made a post on Instagram about TMS and just kind of, this was has to be one of the last times that I was shouting from the rooftops about this stuff. And the reason in a lot of ways that I don't a lot of times is because of responses like this. So somebody responded to this, it was 4 years ago. And again, it was just me talking about, you know, for a long time I had pinned all my issues onto something physical, basically. And then I came across Sarno's books and it was a big awakening and totally changed the way that I thought about pain and issues and injuries. So I got this response. I'm lost, but now I'm found. My chronic shoulder pain is from repressed emotions, not the shitty attitude I made about body mechanics when lifting or the hard labor or work I do over the years, maybe the shitty bed and terrible sleeping patterns I wouldn't fix because I'd rather spend money on drinks and not a new mattress. You sure this isn't just a shitty excuse to blame the result of the actions that happen over time, of improper movement, or ignorance passed down teaching and straight up bad luck? Does personal accountability or situational awareness ever come into play for oneself, or is this just a victim game? I would love a response. I'm curious. Is anything ever your fault when it comes to injuries? So, it got me thinking about, there's like a lot of places I could start. So, I'll go from the perspective of like a weightlifter, CrossFitter, athlete, and people in this sport, people that, that do things with fitness or they engage in some kind of a sport, injuries are something to lean on. And that sounds really awful and it sounds very blunt. There have been a lot of different athletes and a lot of different sports that I've interviewed over the years that they just go through these long bouts and issues of injuries and issues and things like that. I've told the story many a times that, like clockwork, for years and years and years, I would come up with, I'd have bicep tendonitis or shoulder tendonitis or knee tendonitis, where I would have to go and take prescription strength, like anti-inflammatories or pain pills to get me through a few weeks. So it'd be like 2 or 3 weeks of this intense pain and I'd have to take pills in order to get over it. I had assumed that it was because of either working out too much or the programming was, there was too much volume or too much intensity. I could pin it on the program, things like that. So it would be blaming is what I would do. I wouldn't be taking real accountability for it. I would be pushing it on the program or I would be pushing it on the exercises themselves. And so what this person that commented on this post is arguing is that a TMS approach of saying that this is emotionally rooted, you can make the argument mentally rooted, is a way to take no accountability. And my response to that is actually it's the ultimate accountability. Because if I spent years and years getting some kind of an injury quarterly and saying it's the program's fault, when really it's me internalizing the stress and strife that I feel in my job and circumstances around my job and needing to finish quarters with certain amounts of success as a salesperson and things like that, it's me internalizing all of that stress and creating these issues. If I'm saying that out loud, that's actually the most accountability that somebody could provide at all, because now it's on nobody else. It is just on me. It is self-imposed pressure. It is self-imposed illness and injury. So if I am saying all of these things, how could that possibly be taking no accountability? So the person's response is quite frankly very ignorant. And it got me thinking. I reached out to a friend of ours and I was like, hey, look what popped up 4 years ago. The fuck is this guy even talking about? And the response from this friend of mine was that this guy grew up in the hood and, you know, that TMS is basically like a first world problem. And just almost like, I don't know, it was kind of like a weird response, how I took it anyway, at least in that context, that it's a first world problem. Thus, the way that I think it was implied is that it only impacts people that come from certain walks of life, people that either, because again, he said that this person comes from the hood, different kinds of problems, and TMS is a first world problem. Okay, so the inverse of that would be somebody that doesn't come from the hood or comes from a good upbringing or comes from money or like whatever the case is, which I did not, by the way. So I started thinking about this and it led me to start thinking about All the Rage, which is by Michael Galinsky, which is about Sarno and it's about TMS and it's about this filmmaker's struggle with symptoms. And I started thinking about this one scene and I'm going to message Michael because I'm hoping that I can use this in the episode. It's about, it's like a 5 or 6 minute clip, but it's going through and actually talking about the roots for most people with these kinds of symptoms and how they actually, those patterns actually begin really early in life. Talk about the ACEs study. It talks about TMS actually disproportionately affecting people in lower income levels, and things like that. So I want to lay out, because I want to listen to this and I want you to listen to this as almost like a comeback to the statement that I had read and talked about. So let's listen. This is from All the Rage. This is from, if you want to go back and watch, this is from 1 hour, 8 minutes and 40 seconds. So let's listen in.
It really is a war within. Well, one part of me desperately wanted to figure out what was going on. Another one kept fighting to keep these feelings from rising to the surface.
There's a spiritual teacher, Almas, who says that the surest way to go to hell is to resist going to hell. If you don't deal with that dark stuff, You can't get to the light. You just can't. In our society, we confuse and confound responsibility with blame. To say that we're responsible, and to even to say that certain emotional and behavioral patterns that you have contributed significantly to the onset of your illness, does not mean that you'll be blamed for it. Especially when you look at chronic pain, it almost always occurs in a context of somebody's life who had significant childhood loss or trauma. And that then entrains a whole set of stress-producing reactions and patterns that then culminate in the chronic pain later on. And what a great opportunity for learning and for transformation. But over and over again, we just try and deal with the symptom rather than the underlying problem. And we will miss a great opportunity to help liberate people. You know, Jesus said, he so beautifully said, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will liberate you. So it's not that the truth will liberate you. You have to know the truth before it can liberate you. We have a real opportunity to help people see the truth here, based on our experience, based on all the science, based on all the traditions. And we're dropping the ball over and over and over again.
I think one of the reasons it's so hard for us to see the truth sometimes is because with knowledge comes responsibility. Like my father, despite my best efforts, I sometimes found myself exploding with rage at my kids for things that seemed somewhat insignificant. Knowing what I knew about how negatively this can affect children, the sense of responsibility to disentangle myself from these emotions became increasingly profound. Like Dr. Sarno and Dr. Matte, Dr. David Clark stumbled upon the mind-body connection, even though a focus on the emotions had not been a part of his training.
It came as a huge shock to me just how ill you can get from quote-unquote mere stress. The Adverse Childhood Experience Study came out in the late 1990s, and to me it is the most important public health study of our generation, taking 18,000 people who were coming in for routine checkups, asking them about different areas of Adverse Childhood Experience, or ACEs. They went on to compare the group that had four or more of these ACEs with the group that had none. The group that had four or more was almost three times as likely to suffer from multiple bodily symptoms, twice as likely to be obese, twice as likely to have emphysema, and on average died 20 years younger. And they are decades removed from the adversity they suffered in childhood, and yet they're still experiencing these profound, long-lasting health effects. But fortunately, my professional experience with thousands of childhood stress survivors has shown that with appropriate attention to these issues, you can reverse a lot of this. You can change these outcomes.
Traumas become embodied. I've seen over my 30 years of research in inner city neighborhoods, communities devastated by horrific policies of urban renewal and deindustrialization and massive disinvestment, and traumas just piled on people, and their bodies break down as their minds are suffering. Out of this stress, people get diabetes and they get asthma and they get obese. What's confirmed by the ACE study is that it's the mind and the body together that are living through these horrible hurts. And so we have to be aware of that, and we have to bring this mind-body consciousness into our treatment practice.
The results of the ACE study were published in 1999. But it's taken almost 17 years for the medical community to even begin to pay attention to them. As Dr. Matte points out, there's a wealth of data out there that supports the mind-body connection. But because it sits outside our expectations, we're often blind to it.
In that book of mine, the first chapter is called The Bermuda Triangle. And the reason it's called The Bermuda Triangle is because I've looked at the research, and there's lots of research. It's published in bona fide and major medical journals, but it disappears without a trace. It's despite the evidence, not for the lack of it, that we practice the way we do.
In our culture, it's much more acceptable to have a physical pain than an emotional one. It's not just the science that we're ignoring. It's also our emotions. I finally realized that I needed help connecting to...
Okay. So, again, that ran from about an hour and 8 to an hour and 14. A couple things I wrote down from that. Dr. Clark talks about the ACEs study and that they have seen and their experience has been that you can reverse a lot of these things. So I think that's paramount initially. And Dr. Matei talks about disease being becoming inborn. And then Galinsky wrapping it up appropriately by saying that a physical ailment is just much more acceptable than an emotional or mental one. So again, going back to that person's comment on the post, and again, I'm standing there, I'm proud of everything that I've learned and things like that. And he chooses to strike down and say, no, it's about manual labor, or it's about lifting mechanics, or it's about skipping mobility, or like all these kind of things. Because again, it is much easier for someone, particularly men, to point or paint a physical issue than it is an emotional one. And this actually, there was a post on LinkedIn that I saw just this morning where it was talking about issues around men's mental health and around how men are like five to six times more likely to commit suicide. There's a variety of different things that fall into that category. And I think that a lot of it has to do with the fact that we do tend to crutch physical, we can blame physical things, or we can pin all of our issues and our chronic pain issues to something that happened physically, because it's not necessarily acceptable for us in a lot of ways to stop, pump the brakes, and to say, no, you know, I'm having a really rough time emotionally. You guys have heard me on this podcast cry multiple times, but that would not have been something that I would have been capable of doing several years ago before learning about all of this stuff. Because really, like, making sure that you're experiencing emotions and experiencing your experiences and your life experiences is really the only way to get past them. Like, we are, as much as possible, as much as you can possibly imagine, we are absorbing all of the different stimulus, mostly for the negative that goes around us. Let me give it a good example. If you haven't left a review on Apple Podcasts for this podcast, I urge you to do so. There's 215 of them, has 4.8 out of 5 stars. I think all but three or four written reviews are positive, overwhelmingly positive. But then there's those three or four that are negative. You know how many times I've gone back and read those three or four negative ones? It's a part of what it is that we as humans do. And again, you amplify that. I can only speak to me being a man. Amplify that with how men are in internalizing that. I think it's actually the first time I've talked about it on this podcast, saying that, okay, I've got all these this abundance of beautiful reviews that people have written, and yet every single week I go back and I look at those three or four that are bad and just wonder, like, gosh, where have I gone wrong? So that's some stuff that I think about. So that's the stuff that's on my mind this week, and something that really came to mind yesterday. Again, this was planned to be a Ask Me Anything type episode, but this person's response just really struck a chord and had me thinking about it all over again. Again, it's a big reason why I don't really talk about any of this stuff out loud beyond this podcast and beyond social media and beyond emails that you may send me, which I love all of those. Very sparingly will you see me talking about it on my social media at all, my personal social media. Every single episode, I actually used to create a graphic and then promote it on all of my personal social media. And it just ruffled a lot of feathers. And so I don't do that anymore. It's not doing anything positive for me. So what I would say is that one of the best gifts that you can give as a listener of this podcast is to, if you feel like you trust the person enough, if you hear somebody that, or you have a friend or something that has a just recurring physical issue that they just can't get nailed down, they get told multiple things by physical therapists and things like that, make a overture and tell them about what you've learned. And make the offer to just point them in the resources, or point them in the direction of some resources. Because really, I think that, like, grassroots and boots on the ground, like, that stuff can really help and make a big impact. Again, it's completely changed the way that I've thought about pain and injuries and issues and illnesses. And if I have a sudden jolt of pain, be it in my knee while I'm lifting or while I'm not lifting, like Christmas Day, somebody came over to our house and I instantaneously had this like burst of sciatica in my right leg. And frightening that would have been before learning about any of this stuff. And it's only because of this work and learning about it that I did not fear, and it was gone pretty quickly. Because that's the kind of knowledge that I have. Again, it's changed completely how I thought about all this. The day before that, I was lifting very heavy and hitting near maxes. And then the next day I start having sciatica issues. Prior to Sarno, where people that aren't aware of this stuff, what would they have done? They would have freaked out. They would have done physical therapy. They would have been researching on the internet ad nauseum about all the issues that they have. I don't need to do that. It's a cheat code, really, is what it is. So in any event, I hope this wasn't too scrambled. If you've got some thoughts about it, I'd love to hear them. Eddie at themindandfitnesspodcast.com. I hope you're having a great week, and I will talk to you next week.